The reading this evening comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 39, the entire chapter. That is Genesis chapter 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officers, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you bought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. May the Lord add his blessing to the ministry of his word this evening.
This evening we are going to look into the life of the Old Testament Joseph, as found in the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now there are many aspects to Joseph's life, and it would take many, many sermons to bring it all together, but I want to just share with you a couple of passages this evening which speak to our time, and some things I want to bring to your attention this evening that I feel will be appropriate for us living in this generation. Many years removed from Joseph's time, but human nature has not changed. Sin has not changed, temptation has not changed, and God's providence certainly has not changed. Just to give you a little bit of background into some of the things leading up to the present time where we find Joseph in Potiphar's house, a few verses over in the 37th chapter of Genesis says that now Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made him a richly ornamented robe, or as we know from Sunday school, he had a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Joseph had a difficult home life. He was favored of his father. As a result of that, his other 11 brothers wouldn't even speak to him, said they hated him. As the story goes on, his brothers are out in Shechem tending the flocks, and Jacob is concerned for them, how they are doing, and he brings Joseph in, and he said, go out to Shechem, Joseph, and see how the boys are doing, and bring back a report to me. And so he goes out and gets to Shechem and can't find them, and another gentleman says, they moved up there to Dothan, and you'll find them up there. And as Joseph is coming along the path, they see him from a distance, and they say to themselves, here comes the dreamer. Let us kill him and be finished with this dreamer. And we'll tell Father that a wild beast devoured him. And so they took him and they threw him down in the pit. Reuben, the oldest brother, objected. He says, this is not right. He says, let us not kill the lad. Just leave him here for a time. And it was Reuben's intention to bring him back eventually to his father. The other brothers are sitting around there with Joseph down in the pit, and they're having something to eat. And some of the more frugal brothers, more thrifty ones, they said, why should we just allow him to die here? Why don't we sell him to these merchants that are coming along here, and we'll get some money for him and let them take him away? After all, Judah says, he is our brother. He is our flesh and blood. Why kill him? Let's make some money on him. And so merchants come along, and he is sold into Egypt at the hands of the Ishmaelites, and he comes along, and we pick it up here in the 39th chapter of Genesis, and we find Joseph in the house of Potiphar. Now, Potiphar was one of Pharaoh's officials, and he had many responsibilities in this house, and he took Joseph and bought him, actually, for his service, and gave him many responsibilities in the house. Now, the scripture says the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph back when he was with his brothers and with Jacob. The Lord was with him all along. The Lord was guiding him that he was not killed, and he finds himself now in God's divine providence here in this house of the Egyptian. It says the Egyptian saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord gave him success in everything that he did. Isn't that marvelous? When a man or a woman has the hand of God upon his life and the Spirit of God is upon their lives, people will see that. And it just so happens, it isn't always this way, but in this situation, God prospered Joseph, so the things that he did turned out well. And because God was prospering Joseph, likewise Potiphar's house and all the things that Joseph was responsible for, they too were prospering. God was with Joseph. I call this Joseph in prosperity. Now, as a follower and believer in Jesus Christ, are we faithful to that which God has called us to do? Are we truthful? Are we honest? Are we men and women of character as Joseph was? Do the people that we work with, that we go to school with, the people in our neighborhoods, do they know that God is upon our lives? Are we different from the rest of the people? Could it be said of you or me that because of God's Spirit working in our lives, that the things that we do for those we work for those institutions where we're learning, those people that we represent, that because we are there, things are better for them? Are we a good influence where we are, or are we just part of the crowd? Joseph was not part of the crowd. He stood out very soon after he was in that house, and Potiphar put everything into his hand. The scripture says he took no concern for anything that was in the house or in the fields. And he was concerned about only one thing, that which he was going to eat every day. What a wonderful man Joseph must have been. It's interesting that Potiphar, who was a pagan, he knew nothing about God or wasn't concerned about God. But he saw that this man had the Spirit of God, as Scripture says, the Spirit of God upon his life. It was different. Some divine purpose was in this young man's life. And Potiphar was glad to have him in his house. Is your employer glad to have you where you work? Are you a diligent, faithful, truthful, honest? Is your place better because you are there? And because the hand of God is upon your life, it should be that way. But if God is prospering you or me, you can be sure that there is going to come into our life a time of proving. And if we are the Christian that we think we are, that we try to be, that we hope to be, that we make out to be, you can be certain that it isn't going to be very long before our faith is tried, and times sometimes very severely and in different ways. And Joseph came into a time of proving in Potiphar's house. And it came in the form of Potiphar's wife. Now the scripture says that Joseph was well built and handsome. He was probably in his late teens, somewhere between 17 and 20 years of age. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph. Or another translation says, she set her eyes on him and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. This was a time of testing for Joseph. Everything that would belong to Potiphar was in that house he had control over. He was a good man, but there was an evil woman in the house. And Satan was about to bring down, if he could, this good, righteous man of God. And she set her eyes upon him. Joseph refused. I think of David. David's sin started with the eyes. Scripture tells us that he came out on his porch. Reasonable enough, it might have been warm, he needed a breath of air, came out on his porch, and he set his eyes over on the horizon. And in a house not far from where he was, there was a woman taking a bath. And David looked at her. And David didn't refuse. And David entertained that. And he looked for a while, and he lingered, and he thought about it. And then he inquired of the servants, who is that lady over there? And he got more information. And what does the scripture says? When sin begins, when lust takes hold, it comes into our spirit as thought, it comes in through the eye gate, then we think about it, it begins to burn, it begins to take hold in our lives. And that's what happened to David. And he said, go get the woman and bring her over here. But Joseph didn't entertain that in his heart. You see, in David's situation, there was a place in his heart for that. In that area of his life, he wasn't perfectly right before God, because had he been that way, he would have come right back off that porch and shut the door and gone back to his work. But he left place for the devil, as the scripture says there, and he became enticed. And then his lust conceived and became full sin. But right away, Joseph refused. He says, my master doesn't concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater than me in this house. He's withheld nothing from me except you because you are his wife. Now, I want to share three things with you about this proving in Joseph's life. And this is a pertinent message, my friends, for today. Because sin hasn't changed, temptation hasn't changed, evil hasn't changed, men haven't changed. And what we see here thousands of years ago will happen today. Possibly in the same situation may have happened to you, or your testing will come in some other area of temptation. But it will be in that area where you are probably the weakest, because Satan knows that, and that's the area where he will tempt you. Joseph said to her, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? What a response. There's three things in that response. One, he says, how could I? Now, he didn't condemn the woman. He didn't chastise her for her wickedness, for her trying to allure him with this terrible sin. But he looked to himself. And he says, Mrs. Potiphar, how could I do this? You see, I am a child of God. I'm a child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God in his divine providence has a purpose in my life. I am God's servant in this place. Such a sin may be all right for you. You think nothing of this sin. Others here in this house may think nothing of it. As a matter of fact, Egypt, most of the people in our city may think nothing of this. This may be very commonplace, but madam, for me, I cannot do this because I am a child of God. He would have no part of it because of his special relationship with God. Do you sense that special relationship in your life? That sin is outside of the realm of possibility. Oh, you may fall, but when you look at it, when it comes, you say, I can't do this. Paul, speaking to the Ephesians in the 5th chapter, he's talking about this matter of immorality. And he says, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of the place, but rather the giving of thanks. Paul said, there shouldn't even be a hint of anything like this in our fellowship. Why, Ephesians? Because you are special. You are God's holy people. And God's holy people have no part with any of this kind of wickedness. My friends, I say to you tonight that times have not changed as far as God's word is concerned. And that these things, likewise today in 1990, should not even be hinted or in any way part of anybody who names the name of Jesus Christ. And so when temptations are set before us, we simply refuse. I cannot do this. And that's what Joseph said. He says, I cannot do this. I cannot do what? This wicked thing. Or this great wickedness. He calls sin, sin. Potiphar's wife thought it was something else. She probably had another name for it. Egypt in that day, they probably had various kinds of terms which were a lot more gentle and more acceptable to people, just as we have today ways of discussing these things which were far more genteel than calling them wicked. But in God's eyes, they're wicked. They were then, they are today. Adultery is a great wickedness. It always has been, it always will be. And any kind of sin is wickedness. It defiles the people, and it should have no part with the people of God. Unfortunately, we do sin, and thank God for His grace, His mercy, the finished work of Christ, which atones for sins, and we can have forgiveness. And even those, certainly, that come into the Christian life, having lived these kind of lives, can have the wonderful forgiveness in Jesus Christ when they come in repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The church is filled with people who used at one time live lives such as this. But after coming to faith, we have no more part with any of these things. Oh, as people of God that name the name of Christ, that we would agree with God that sin is sin. And what He calls it in His Word, we'd agree with what He says it is and treat it accordingly. And as the Scripture says, flee youthful lusts. Don't even entertain them. Never mind what the world says about them. Let them have their own opinions. But we're the people of God. And He says, I won't do this wickedness and sin against God. Sin against God. That's what sin is. It's against God. So it doesn't matter whether you have consenting adults or nobody's around to see it or people aren't hurt or it's my own body or whatever you may want to say that's current. It matters not. Because this sin is sin against God. And if nobody else ever knows about it, He knows about it. And if nobody's upset or nobody's hurt by it, He's hurt. He's upset. And one day, we'll answer to Him for that. And the Scripture says there is nothing that is hid, that is not seen to Him, for all things are made manifest before Him, with whom we have to do. He knows. He sees. Yes, were Joseph to engage in this wicked deed, it would be sin against Potiphar, the one who trusted him, and how grieved Potiphar's heart must have been to come home and to hear this lie from his wife that his faithful servant that he had such great trust in, Joseph, would ever had done this wicked thing. He would have sinned even against Potiphar's wife because here she was a pagan. She didn't know any better, but he did. He was a man of God. He would have sinned against her. He would have sinned against his own body. Oh, my friends, there's nothing funny or amusing about adultery. It's sometimes put forth like that in the media. Oh, people laugh about it in the office. People laugh in the colleges about it. But they're not around with the social workers in the schools and in the prisons. They're not around with the children that are spread here and there because of divorced homes. They're not there when the heartache and the heartbreak and all the shattered lives resulting from this. Those that are laughing aren't around for all the tears. Yes, it's great wickedness. And as in the life of David, there was great consequences, so in the lives of those who sin, there'll be great consequences. But for the grace of God and repentance and faith in Christ. Now, he has to go in there every day, the Scripture says. He's working every day in that house, and he meets her. Can you imagine to have that temptation before you? And if we entertain something in our heart, you can be sure that someday Satan is going to put forth a temptation with just the right circumstances that'll overwhelm you, but for the grace of God. And the Scripture says that one day Joseph goes into work as he did all of the days.
But she was waiting for him. Nobody else was in the house. And she got him right at the right spot. She laid hands on him and grabbed him. She says, I'll get him this time. You see, this thing had been burning within her for days, for months. How could he refuse her? She was the woman of the house. Her pride was damaged. And she said, what is this Hebrew slave going to refuse me for? I will have my way. He will not refuse me. And she had the perfect plan. But she didn't know who she was dealing with. And she laid hands on him and grabbed him. And what did he do? He didn't refuse this time. He fled. The only thing he could do, just got plain right out of there. Well, evil will never be satisfied. Had to leave his coat behind. He lost his first beautiful coat. Now here's another coat. He lost his good coat, but thank God he saved his good character. And she calls the men around, the guards, and says, he tried to force me. And her husband was away instead of watching out for her. And he comes back into the house, and she tells him what had happened. It's interesting what she says. She says, this Hebrew slave, which you brought into this house. See, she was jealous of him. He had so much power with her husband. It could be possible that she laid this whole thing and she would have reported that against him anyways, even if he had agreed to her sly trick. She says, this Hebrew slave you brought in here, he mocked me. Obviously, Potiphar was furious and had him put into prison. But the providence of God was still with Joseph. The grace of God was with him. Potiphar certainly could have beheaded him and killed him for this wicked thing, but he didn't. And he goes down into the prison. And if anybody could have had a pity party, it was Joseph. I mean, here he has stood for God and stood for what is right all these months. And this great temptation comes, and she even lays hands on him to hold him there, and he just flees. True to God in every situation. And he sits down here in this prison. He's already lost his family. His beloved father thinks he's dead. He doesn't know whether he'll ever see his father again. His brothers have all rejected him. He's lost his coat. He's lost everything. Here he is alone. And could he not say to himself, what is the value of serving God? But he didn't do it. Joseph knew the providence of God. He saw God with him in the prison. And he began to get right to work, and his character came through, his honesty, his truthfulness came through right there in the prison. So that the warden of the prison saw what kind of man this was, and he started to give Joseph responsibilities in the prison. And naturally, because God was in control of his life in every aspect, what he did prospered in the prison. And the scripture says, now the warden puts all of the prisoners in the charge of Joseph, and he has nothing to worry about or care about because everything's in Joseph's charge. Now, I expect that most of you haven't had been in prison, or you've even had prison ministry. You've probably never even been there. But that is quite remarkable, that any prisoner would be so outstanding that he could take care of all the prisoners and everything that was in the house so that the warden had nothing to be concerned about. But that's the kind of man that Joseph was. That's the kind of character he had. You see, even a prison could not hold the joy, the blessing that was upon this man of God's own choosing. I think of the Apostle Paul. Did not he spend months and months in prison? He speaks to the Philippians in the letter and he said, I'm here and I'm bound in these chains. But he says, I want to assure you that what has happened to me in this prison has fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel. Because of my being in prison here, he says the believers are much more bold to preach the word. He saw there was God's purpose that he be in that prison. He writes to Timothy and he says, oh, it's possible, Timothy, to put me in prison, to put others in prison. But he says, I want to assure you, Timothy, that the word of God is not bound. Yes, a man, a woman of God, wherever they may be, with the power of God in their life, they can be an instrument of righteousness and an instrument of good and an instrument of blessing. And you know the rest of the story, how Joseph later had the dreams and interpreted the dreams and finally interpreted the dream for Pharaoh and won great favor and got out of prison. By the way, he spent 2 years in that prison. From the time he went there till the time he got out was a period of 2 years. That's a long time for something he never did. Another thing, we haven't got time to get into this, but you can think about it. He never reported the true story to Potiphar. He was a man of compassion. He knew that would ruin Potiphar's marriage and would probably be the means of the killing of Potiphar's wife. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. He let it up to God to take care of it all. He spent the 2 years in that prison and later was taken out by Pharaoh, stored up the grain, and there was a blessing to his brothers and saved many, many people. And he said to them, brothers, when they finally met him, rehearsing the time they threw in the pit, he says, brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save many people alive this day. Many things may happen in your life. Maybe you feel that you're in a prison. You're bound. You can't get released from some of the problems you have. But my friends, if God is with you, his purposes will be accomplished in your life. And the difficulties and the problems that you're going through right now, though it may be a long time, may be things beyond your control, God is with you. He is working out your purpose. And in his due time and in space, he will honor you for your faithfulness, and he will show you that good purpose that he has so intended for you. Oh, may we be men and women faithful to God, faithful to men, that can live in our generation and have a heart that's right towards God, and when evil comes to us, simply say, we refuse. We will have no part of this wickedness and sin against God, because we're part of God's chosen holy people, living a life sanctified, a life of holiness, pleasing to God and useful to men. Now let us pray. Father, we thank you for just this bit of the story of Joseph. We thank you for his faithfulness. May we be that kind of man or woman in that place where you have set us. And Lord, for some of us, we're not that way now, but we'd like to be. And we thank you that there is forgiveness at the cross. And that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we begin this day to be men and women, special and holy unto you, a witness to a world that knows you not. But may we shine as lights in the darkness, that Jesus Christ might be glorified. Amen.